Today we're going to do Daf Hey Amud Aleph of Masecha Sukkah. We left off in Daf Dalet Amud Beis, a few lines from the bottom of the page, about 5-6 lines from the bottom of the page. V'she'ina gavoa asar tefachim. So the Mishnah had said that a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim tall is possible. So frak the Gemara, mi nalan. Where do we learn such a din from? So says Gemara, itmar, rav, rabbi chanin, rabbi yochanan, rabbi chaviv, masnu. This entire group of Amoraim taught that b'kula seder moed, and the Gemara just adds, and whenever you have in seder moed, kol ki aizuga, this entire group of four Amoraim together, chalufei Rabbi Yochanan umayli Rabbi Yonasan. Some people take out Rabbi Yochanan from the group and instead put Rabbi Yonasan in that group. That it wasn't Rabbi Yochanan who said these things, rather it was Rabbi Yonasan. But anyway, back to our originally scheduled program. What did they say? Where do we learn that a sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim tall? So the Gemara says, we learn it from, this group of Amoraim said, we learn it from the Aron that was in the Mishkan. Aron Tisha, the Aron was 9 tefachim tall. How do I know the Aron was 9 tefachim tall? Because the Chumash says that Vasu Aron atzei shitim ha-masayim v'chetzi arko v'ama v'chetzi rachbo v'ama v'chetzi komaso, that the height should be 1.5 amos. An ama is 6 tefachim. 1.5 amos is 9 tefachim. The kaporas tefach, and the kaporas that was on top of the aron, the kaporas is the covering of the aron, the lid of the aron, was an additional tefach. So hare kan asara. So you put the 9 tefachim of the aron, the 1 tefach of the covering, so you have 10 tefachim. Uksiv v'noadati l'chasham v'dibarti yitcho me'al hakaporas. And it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke to us from on top of the kaporas. So you see, the shechina went to the top of the kaporas, which is a height of 10 tefachim. V'tanya, and the Brisa tells us, Rabbi Yosi Yom Ramei Olam Leyor Deshchina Lamata V'lo Olam Moshe V'li Olam Arum Shemar Shemayim Shemayim L'Hashem V'aretz Nasan L'Vnei Adam, that the Shechina never encroached on earth, it never went below the 10 Tfachim, and Elio never went, and Moshe never went above the 10 Tfachim, because each one has their domain. HaShemayim Shemayim L'Hashem. Shemayim is only for Hashem, people don't belong there. V'aretz Nasan L'Vnei Adam, and Hashem was kind enough to give us the domain over the Aretz. So you see that the Shechina is in the Shemayim. Bnei Adam are Ba'aretz. So since the Shechina was on the Kaporas, you see that from 10 Tefachim and up is considered a separate location, and it's not called down below. It's not called down here on earth. So the same will be true by Adine Mechitza, that only if it's 10 tefachim or more is it considered to be something that separates two separate reshuyos. And that's why a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall, because in order to make something that would qualify as a mechitza, as something that divides reshuyos, it would need to be 10 tefachim tall, which is an interesting idea. That's what we were talking about in one of the previous shiurim about I think in the last Amud, about how if you have a mechitza, it's less than 10 tefachim tall, it's not even a mechitza, it's not even called a dofen. If you're going to dig a depression in order to make a sukkah taller, you are trying to create a mechitza, the Gemara had said, because 10 tefachim is the very definition of mechitza. Lo yarda shechina lamata v'haksiv, lo yarda shechina lamata, you really mean to tell me the shechina, v'lo yarda shechina lamata, the shechina never went below 10 tefachim, v'haksiv, it says before Matan Torah Ve'er Hashem Al Har Sinai, Hashem gave him down on Har Sinai. So he answers Gemara, yeah, but L'mal Me'asar Tefachim, he came down, but he hovered more than 10 Tefachim above the mountain. So the Gemara adds, but still, V'aksiv, doesn't the Navi Zechariah tell Am Yisrael that one day HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come, V'yamdu Raglov B'yomahu Al Har Azesim, that Hashem's Shechina is going to stand on Har Azesim? So don't you see it's below 10 Tefachim? No, L'mal Me'asar Tefachim, it means more than 10 tefachim off the ground. So the Gemara says, wait, do you velo alu Moshe ve'Elio lamarim? Do you mean to tell me that Moshe and Elio never went above 10 tefachim? V'aksiv v'Moshe ala elokim. Doesn't it say that Moshe went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? L'mat me'asara. Moshe stuck below 10 tefachim. V'aksiv v'yal Elio basa'ara hashamayim, that Elio, when he went up in the chariots of fire to heaven, it says he went up hashamayim also. L'mat me'asara. I don't think it's meant to be taken literally in terms of I'm sure it's not meant to be taken literally in terms of lo yordu shechina lamata and lo ala moshe v'aliyah lamayla in terms of our measurements. It means something. I'm just not sure what it means. But as far as its application to sukkah, that is to be taken literally, that a sukkah is supposed to be exactly 10 tefachim. Ask the Gemara further, v'aksiv me'achaz p'nei kisei parshas alav ananu v'am rabbi tarnuch melamed shepir shakai miziv shechinoso v'ananu alav. So the pasuk is telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu went up l'marom. So the Gemara answers, yeah, l'matam e'asara, that also was below 10 tefachim. Mikol makom, the Gemara asks, but wait, ma'achaz p'nei kisei ksiv, he was grabbing the kisei, the kisei ha-kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is in Shemayim Mamish. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was grabbing the kisei ha-kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is in Shemayim, that has to be l'malam e'asara tefachim. And says the Gemara, ishtar bev le'kisei Adasara v'nakatbe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the kisei right to the edge of the 10 tefachim, and Moshe Rabbeinu grabbed onto it from there. So we see that 10 tefachim is a reshus bifnei atzmo. So main point number one is that we learn the height of 10 tefachim for a sukkah, for a mechitza, from the aron and kaporas, which indicate that 10 tefachim is the border between Shemayim and Aretz. 10 tefachim is the border between Shemayim and Aretz. The border between where HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and where people go. So now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of where we know that 10 tefachim was in fact the height of the Aron and Kaporis put together. Because Bishlama Aron Tisha, the fact that the Aron was 9 tefachim, that's explicit. Tchsiv, va'asu Aron atzei shitim, amasayim v'chetzi arko, amav v'chetzi rachbo, v'amav v'chetzi komaso. And if you assume that an amah is 6 tefachim, and the height is explicit in the Torah of 1.5 amos, so clearly the height of the Aron is 9 tefachim. Al kaporis tefach minolim, but the idea that the lid of the Aron was 1 tefach, where do we get that from? The Torah never says that. So the Tanya Rabbi Chanina, Kala Kelim Shasa Moshe, Nasan Ben Torah Midas Harkon, Midas Rachman, Midas Kamasan. All of the Kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Mishkan, the Torah gives us its length, its width, its height. Kaporas, Midas Harkon, Midas Rachman, Nasna, Midas Kamasan, Nasna. But the Kaporas, the Torah tells us its length and its width. It says, Beferish, Vasisa Kaporas Avtar, Amasayim Vachetzi Arka, Vama Vachetzi Rachba, but it never tells us its height. So how do we figure out the height of the kaporis if it doesn't say it? We learn its height from the smallest of the kelim, which is the miskeres of the shulchan. Shenemar, because it says by the shulchan, vasisalo miskeres tofach saviv. So you see that the miskeres of the shulchan was one tefach. Malahalan tefach, avkan tefach. So we assume that if the miskeres of the shulchan was a tefach mistama, the kaporis on top of the aron was a tefach as well. Frak the Gemara, why would you learn from the I understand you want to learn from the smallest of the kelim, but why would you learn from the miskeres? The miskeres wasn't really a kli; it was a decoration on a kli. It was an added part of a kli. But v'nelef mikelim gufayu. Why don't you learn from kelim themselves? Find the smallest actual kli, which happens to be more than a tefach. So says Gemara, tafasta merubalo, tafasta, tafasta muat, tafasta. Very important principle. Whenever you can explain something to mean something larger or something smaller, we always try to pick the smaller amount. We try not to bite off more than we can chew. And therefore, the din over here is that we're going to learn the size of the kaporis from the miskeres, which is a smaller measurement than from other kelim, which happen to be larger. Frak the Gemara, okay, but I could still find a kli that's smaller. V'nelef mitzitz. Why don't we learn from the tzitz? The tzitz is the headband that the Kohen Gadol wore, which was 2 etzba'os in height. So Tanya, tzitz dom kimintashel zav v'rachav shtei etzba'os u'mukav me'ozen la'ozen. It was a golden plate, and it was only 2 etzba'os wide, and it extended from one ear to the other ear. V'kasav halav shtei shitin, and the words Kodesh LaHashem appeared on the tzitz in 2 different rows, yud hey milamala, with the letters yud and hey on the top row, v'kodesh lamed milamata, and kodesh lamed on the bottom line. You know, the kodesh lamed is off to the right, and the yud and hey say we're off to the left. So red, you could read it straight, but it was like reading upwards. The yud and hey were on a higher level than the kodesh lamed. Vamra blazer Rabbi Yossi ani reisiv baromi. And Rabbi Blazer Rabbi Yossi says I actually saw the tzitz in Rome. The kasav lav kodesh Hashem b'shita achas. And he says you got it all wrong in terms of how it was written. It was all on a single line. But regardless of whether it was a single line or two lines, and this is also an interesting discussion based on this Gemara, can you bring a raya from archaeological evidence? Meaning, if we say that we saw something in Rome, you know, you find tefillin in somewhere buried that has that's Keshitas Rabbeinu Tam. So is that a raya that Rabbeinu Tam tefillin is correct and not Rashi tefillin? So this Gemara is one of the makaros in that fascinating discussion about the how reliable archaeological evidence is in halacha, but that's not really our interest right now. Our interest is the fact that it said that it's only two etzbaos wide. So why don't we assume that the kaporis was also only two etzbaos? See, a tefach is four etzbaos. An etzba is the width of one's thumb. A tefach is the size of a fist with your thumb on top of it, but it's the width of four of your fingers plus the height of your thumb, but we assume that that's the equivalent of four thumb width, because the thumb is the widest of the fingers. So we're saying essentially that the kaporis might have been half of what we thought it was in terms of height. So says Mar, no. Dun in kli mi kli, vein dun in kli mi tachshit. We're going to learn the kaporis, which is a kli, from another kli, like the misgeres, but we're not going to learn it from a tachshit. The tzitz was considered like a piece of jewelry. The nelef mizer. Why don't we learn from the size of the kaporis from the zer of the aron or of the mizbeach or of the misgeres that was just a mashahu? Damar mar zer mashahu. So dun kli mekli vein dun kli mehechsher kli. Because we're only going to learn a kli from another kli. We're not going to learn it from a hechsher kli. Ihachi misgeres nami hechsher kli. Who? What are you talking about? The misgeres itself is only a hechsher kli. It's not the actual kli. The misgeres of the shulchan was put on top of the actual shulchan. So the misgeres was only there as a decoration. It wasn't there as an actual functioning part of the kli. So it's also only a hechsher kli. So why are we comfortable learning from the misgeres? Says Gemara, no, misgarto lemato hisa. We're misunderstanding the misgeres. The misgeres of the shulchan was not on top of the daf of the shulchan, of the surface of the table. It was actually below, between the legs of the shulchan, and they actually placed the surface of the table on top of the misgeres. So the misgeres actually supported the shulchan, so it was actually part of the functioning part of a kli. Says Gemara, yeah, that's good if that's true. If you assume like such a shita, where exactly the miskeres was. So if you say that the miskeres was actually on the bottom, so then I understand that you're going to learn the size of the kapores from the miskeres. But if you hold the miskeres was just on top of the table and therefore was just a decoration, then how can you learn the size of the kaporis from the miskeres? Hai hechsher klihu. After all, the miskeres is only a hechsher kli. So the Gemara says, you know what? Maybe you can learn the size of the kaporis from a hechsher kli. Maybe you don't really need a kli. Eladun and davar shenasna, but then we're going to ask, why don't we learn from the zer? Eladun and davar shenasna bo torah mida, mi davar shenasna bo torah mida. We dafka have to learn from something that the Torah actually gave us a measurement for, like the miskeres, where the Torah said it's supposed to be a tefach. But the tzitz and the zer, these are things the Torah never gave us a measurement for these items, and therefore we can't learn from them at all, even though obviously they had some size, kol shehu means something, but it's that size is not considered a significant size to learn from if the Torah never identified that size. So that's the source. So I guess main point number two over here will be that the first source for the size of for the kaporis being a tefach is that we learn it from the misgeres, either because the misgeres is a kli, is the smallest kli, or it's the smallest hechsher kli that has a given size. So again, the source for the kaporis being a tefach is either this shows that the kapara is being a tevach from the misgeres, either because the misgeres is the smallest kli, or because the misgeres is the smallest hechsher kli, where the Torah actually gives a size. But Rafuna Amar Mehacha, Rafuna says, you know where we learn it from? It's a totally different place that we learn that the kapara has to be one tevach. When it talks about the sprinkling of the blood of the bull on Yom Kippur, it tells us that you sprinkle al pnei ha-kaporas kedma, that it has to be on the width of the kaporas, not on top of the kaporas itself. So the in panim pachs mitafach, and we call that width, that height of the kaporas, a pnei ha-kaporas, a face, and a face always has to be a tafach. The ima ka'ape debar yochani. How do you know that a face means a tefach? Maybe a face means like the ape debar yochani, which is a gigantic bird and had a much larger face. We go back to the old principle. We always pick the smallest. Maybe it's the face of a bird, which was very tiny and way less than a tefach. So Amaravacha bar Yaakov, Rav Huna, Pnei Gamar. Now, how does he know that Pnei HaKaporos means a tefach? He learns it from Gzeir Shava. Ksiv Hachel Pnei HaKaporos, Ksiv Hasam, Me'es Pnei Yitzchak Aviv. That just like when it talks about Yitzchak, the Pnei Yitzchak, it's talking about a human face, and a human face is a tefach, so too the Pnei HaKaporos is a tefach. Maybe we should learn out from the face of the Malachim, because after Yaakov met up with Esav and he said, you should take my gift because I've seen your panim, kiros pnei Elohim vatirzeni. I mean, Yaakov is telling him that you should accept my gift because I saw your face and they are as chashuv to me like seeing a Malach, because Yaakov was hinting, because by the way, I've seen Malach. I've seen angels. So we can learn in Gzeir Shavah that a Pnei Malach is more than a Tefach. We'd rather learn from a human face, which is a Tefach. V'nelef Mikrov, why don't we learn from the Pnei HaKruvim that were on top of the Aron, from the size of those? Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, El HaKaporis Yu Pnei HaKruvim. You see that they also have a Panim. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Gemiri Ein Pnei Kruvim Pchus Mitefach. Yeah, well, maybe we do. And the Kruvim are, in fact, a Tefach. Rav Huna Nami Mehacha Gamir, and Rav Huna, who learns the size of the kaporas from Pnei, maybe Enochavi, he learns from the Kruvim. My Kruv, what is the lashon of Kruv? Why are these angelic figures called a Kruv? Amra Bevao Keravia. It means like a baby, that their faces were cherubic faces. Shekein, well, obviously the word Kruv means cherub. It's just right, but meaning like a baby face. Shekein Bavel, currently Yanuka, Ravia, because in Bavel they called a baby a Ravia. Amle Abaye Elameata, according to you, that a Kruv is a human face, Tichsiv, you know, the Pasuk says by the Merkava that Yecheskel saw, so Yecheskel saw the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw the Maisa Merkava, this unbelievably holy image that we're not allowed to delve too deeply into, and he saw four faces, Pnei HaEchad, Pnei HaKruv, Pnei HaSheni, Pnei Adam. He saw four faces. The first one was the face of a Kruv, the second one was the face of an Adam. So leaving out what the third and fourth were, it happens to be there were a lion and an eagle, but it doesn't matter. If the first two were a Kruv and an Adam, doesn't that tell you that Kruv and Adam are not the same? But Hainu Kruv, Hainu Adam. According to what we're saying, they're the same. A Kruv and an Adam are the same thing. So in the Gemara, Api Rav Ravi, Api Zutra. Normally when you say a human face, you're talking about an adult human face. When you say a cherubic face, you're talking about a child human face. So the last main point over here, and with this we'll close, is that another possible source of the kaporas being a tefach is that it's called a pnei hakaporas, and a human face is a tefach. A human or cherubic face, for that matter, is a tefach. So, Bezer Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. We're already way into Hey Amid Beis, but we'll pick up from there tomorrow when we do Hey Amid Beis.